What Jefferson does in this bill, his goal is, as he states, to illuminate as far as practicable the minds of the people at large. Now, Virginia had no public school system, and what he tries to do is establish local schools on three tiers. We'll go over the program in a minute. But there's another agenda behind Jefferson's goal here. It's not just the democratic ideal of enabling as many people as possible to participate in an enlarged view of the world. There's also a goal of creating a natural aristocracy, an elite based on talent and virtue rather than wealth and birth. And I quote, that those persons whom nature hath endowed with genius and virtue should be rendered by liberal education worthy to receive and able to guard the sacred deposits of the rights and liberties of their fellow citizens, that they should be called to do this, to do that charge without regard to wealth, birth, or other accidental conditions or circumstances. So Jefferson's championing the Enlightenment ideal of meritocracy. Well, the particular scheme he comes up with is to divide the counties into groups called wards, and these are administrative subdivisions. Each of these wards would have what he calls 100 schools, schools large enough for the local population and easy for them to get to. All people, males as well as girls, will attend these schools for 3 years, where they'll be taught math, English, and, as always, Jefferson would insist, a very patriotic version of American and British history. At the next level, each county will have grammar schools, which will teach Latin, Greek, higher mathematics. From those schools, one bright but poor student will be selected each year to attend the College of William and Mary. So what we essentially have is a pyramid scheme. The very best bright and poor students from the 100 schools are allowed to attend the grammar schools for a very limited period, and then the very best of them will be allowed to be that natural aristocrat, the College of William and Mary. And he states this quite explicitly in his notes on the state of Virginia, that one of the objects of the revisal is to diffuse knowledge more generally through the mass of the people. By this means, 20 of the best geniuses will be raked from the rubbish annually and be instructed at the public expense so far as the grammar schools go. Now, there's an obvious tincture of elitism in that phrase, raked from the rubbish. And it's something that Jefferson still occupies his mind. We have to keep our eyes on that, because that will finally give way in overtime, particularly in notes in the state of Virginia. There's obviously another agenda behind this course, this program as well, which is to allow the creation of a legitimate public grammar schools that the elite can attend at their own expense. So I want to suggest that his agrarian vision here is both progressive and traditional. And it's this traditionalism that really emerges in one of his other legal reforms, a bill for proportioning crimes and punishments. Now, presumably, this is inspired by the enlightened legal humanism of Beccaria, a contemporary Italian jurisprudential thinker. And Jefferson's code is rational. It's distinctly a reform on the existing Virginia statutes, but it's still strikingly harsh and repressive. For example, he limits all death penalty cases to those involving murder, but has a peculiarly harsh punishment for those who engage in dueling. And Jefferson avoided a duel throughout his entire life and seems to have felt that dueling was a violation of the rational order of an enlightened society. Whoever committeth murder by way of duel shall suffer death by hanging. And if he were the challenger, his body after death shall be gibbeted. He who removeth it from the gibbet shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, and the officer shall see that it be replaced. So there's this public display of the corpse as a way of signalizing public disapproval of these affairs of, quote, honor. Similarly curious is his legislation dealing with sex crimes. Whosoever shall be guilty of rape, polygamy, or sodomy with man or woman shall be punished if a man by castration, a woman by boring through the cartilage of her nose a hole of 1/2 inch in diameter at the least. There's a real almost blood-drenched sense of redistributive justice in this case, and it suggests that Jefferson has not entirely divorced himself from his past. There's a curious provision dealing with rough and tumble that I want to read to you. I'll read the provision and explain what it means. whoever on purpose shall disfigure another by cutting out or disabling the tongue, slitting or cutting off a nose, lip, or ear, branding or otherwise, shall be maimed or disfigured in like sort. This is a literal eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth.